Hell by Little Johnny Cartilage by Johnny Mears. Episode 4, Frank Wignall.
Yeah, and another thing. I'll never forget the first party I ever went to. Up till then, I'd only ever seen girls on the world about us, and even then they usually had these big round plate things in their mouths and went about with no shirts on. Anyway, it was amazing, right? There were these two girls and loads of boys, so they made us all line up and then they started to pick which ones they liked. You know, like picking teams for football. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I was left till last and there was a big argument over who liked me the least and, you know, things like that stay with you when you're five. Five that day, as it happens. I think everyone felt a bit guilty because they started singing happy birthday to me and Mum brought out a cake in the shape of a, well, in the shape of a cake, really. Oh, which reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, buffet service is available for sales of teas, coffees, a selection of alcoholic beverages, light refreshments, hot and cold snacks and toasted sandwiches. What else? Oh, all sorts of things, really. Bits of carrot cake, Danish pastries, those big round biscuity things with bits
me?
Of chocolate in them.
Do you mind if I sit here?
Oh, well, you better ask him. He's the one actually sitting in the seat.
Mind if I...
Not at all.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. There's plenty of seats in the next carriage.
People say that a good way of finding out about somebody is by looking through their old record collection. Personally, I think that a much better way is by looking through their diary. Just kidding, ladies and gentlemen.
Mum, what's the date, please?
The 15th.
Of what?
December.
Of what?
1969.
Thanks. 15th of December, 1969. Had an argument with my friend Andrew. I'm depressed because it's almost the 70s, and apparently they're going to be crap. Crap music, crap clothes, crap haircuts. Just crap, basically.
Johnny, what have I told you about saying crap all the time?
Nothing, I don't think, Mum.
Oh. Well, don't say crap all the time, then.
But Class Bully says that crap just means pregnant goldfish, Mum.
Well, you can tell Class Bully that I'll pregnant goldfish him in a minute.
OK, Mum. Sorry about that. Mum keeps interrupting. Anyway, my friend Andrew
and
says...
And Johnny?
Yes, Mum?
Do you have to read your diary out loud as you write it? Can't you read it echoing in your head like everyone else does?
Sorry, Mum. Anyway, my friend Andrew says that although the 70s will be a bit naff at the time... 25 years from now, they'll be hip and kitsch in a postmodern kind of way. But I said, what do you know? In 25 years, I'm going to be flying around on my hoverbike and eating little pills instead of five-course meals like they do on Tomorrow's World, which, by the way, is still presented by Raymond Baxter in these days. Listen to Sugar Sugar by the Archies, fish fingers for tea, watch some late 60s television, practice my harp.
All tickets and rail cards, please. All tickets.
All tickets and... Excuse me, but if you don't mind me asking, haven't you seen me somewhere before?
No, I don't think so.
It is, though, isn't it?
It is what?
Me off the telly. Of course, in those days I was much younger, had a full head of hair and tended to break into song quite a lot.
Look, I'm sorry, but I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Little Johnny Cartilage of the early 70s, all singing, all dancing, chart and TV sensations, the Cartilage family.
Would you please leave us alone now?
See if you remember this one. Hey, hey, we're the Cartilage Bunch.
Look, if you don't go, I'll call the guard.
I am the guard, actually, madam, but don't worry, I can take a hint.
All tickets and rail cards, please, all tickets.
Jack.
Hey, now, look at this. Face the Facts with John Waite this week looks at disturbing new evidence which suggests that the early 70s regional TV stars, in inverted commas, the Cartilage family, were not a real family
at all, but a shamelessly synthetic and crudely manufactured TV family created by ruthless studio bosses in the Anglia region, purely for the purposes of so-called entertainment, not to mention the ratings war in that notoriously hard-to-fill Tuesdays just after Crossroads slot. Well, using technology which has only recently become available, I travelled back in time to 1971, the height, in inverted commas, of the so-called Cartilage, so-called family's so-called fame. Well, here I am, pulling up at the barrier outside the Anglia Studios. The security guard is looking at me rather suspiciously, possibly wondering why I'm talking into this microphone.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, John Waite, Face the Facts. I'm here to see... Please don't punch me in the face like that.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, John Waite, face the... Please don't repeatedly hit me over the head with that chair. Excuse me, but are you the assistant floor manager?
Yeah. Who are you?
John Wayne. Please don't assault me with a Bruce Lee-style barrage of kung fu kicks and punches. Undeterred, and deep within the bowels of Anglia Television, I eventually tracked down one-fifth of the so-called family I'd travelled back almost 25 years in time to see, though, as it happened, it turned out to be two-fifths. Ray and Faye, so-called cartilage, I presume. John Waite, face the facts.
Ah, Mr. Waite. We've been expecting you.
Really?
No, not really. Piss off!
Please don't pull that threatening face at me, Ray. Or should that be Ron? Because you are, in fact, are you not, in fact, Ron Cassidy, painter and decorator from the Sheffield region?
Mr. Cassidy, please don't grab me by the scruff of the neck. Slam me up against a wall and shove your face into mine like that.
I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Mr. Cassidy, are you aware that the cartilage family aren't a real family at all, but a rather pathetic collection of has-beens, never-was-beens and never-will-bees?
Oh, dear. You don't seem to catch my drift, Mr. Waite. I said I don't know what you're talking about. Do I make myself clear?
Mr. Cassidy, please don't resort to corny and frankly rather clichéd dialogue in a Baldy Brothers from EastEnders style with me.
What do you mean, Baldy Brothers from EastEnders?
It's a television programme.
Well, I've never seen it.
Well, you wouldn't have. It doesn't start until the mid-1980s.
Are you taking the piss?
Great.
Mr. Cassidy, please don't smash my tape recorder with a 14-pound sledgehammer.
I'd like to apologise to passengers for the late running of this train. This is due to this train taking much longer than it says on the timetable, basically. What else? I'd like to advise passengers to take their coats off on boarding this train, otherwise when they get off again, they won't feel the benefit, will they? And passengers wishing to play the harp should note that Coach A has been designated as a harp-playing area. Passengers are asked to refrain from playing the harp in any other part of the train.
Mum, if you must embarrass me by meeting me from school, can you at least cover yourself up first?
Oh, don't be such a prude, Johnny. They never did you any harm.
Oh, blinking Ada.
What is it now, Johnny?
Class bully and Mrs. Bully, heading this way.
Where is he?
That's him over there, Mum.
All right, class bully.
Course I am, you puff.
Ah, get off! Ah.
So you're Littley, are you?
Hello, Mrs. Bully.
Now, just you look here.
Oh, just you look here, you in a minute, you brazen slag. No one tells my boy class they're going to pregnant goldfish you in a minute and get away with it.
Cool. Nice one, Mum.
Yeah. Nice one, Mrs. Littley.
Oh, it were nothing, really.
Great tits and all.
All tickets and rail cards, please. Thank you, madam. Thank you, sir.
Johnny? Andrew? I don't believe it! Look at you! You're looking... Anyway, so, what are you up to? Well, I mean, I can see what you're up to. This is amazing! I haven't seen you since...
The 15th of December, 1969.
That long, eh?
We had that argument when you said that the 70s would be derided for years to come, but that eventually they'd become hip and fashionable again.
Right! You said that I didn't know what I was talking about.
Did I really say that?
Yeah, you did, actually.
The things kids say, eh? So, what about you, Andrew? What do you do?
Oh, I'm editor of Face Up magazine, top international periodical and bible for hip and groovy trendy-somethings, as well as being an all-round style guru, constantly in demand for TV and radio appearances.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. Can I see your rail card then, please?
Well, here I am, back in the present day, back outside the Anglia Studios here in Norwich, and, if I'm not mistaken, that's the very same security guard who punched me in the face almost 25 years ago. This calls for a bit of ingenuity.
Yeah, you're that John Wade from Face the Facts, ain't you?
Never heard of him, mate. I've come to read the meter.
Oh, fair enough. On you go, mate.
Well, that was easy enough. Now for the tricksy bit. Because after months of painstaking investigation, we've discovered that the original cartilage family members are still living together in a kind of existential show business hell somewhere here in the grounds of Anglia Television. And with the aid of my newly repaired tape recorder, I'm going to try and have a word with them. Brain's cartilage.
Uh-huh.
Or should I say Shirley Wilson of number 12, Cheadle Avenue, Preston?
According to my calculations...
According to my calculations, Miss Wilson, you're not particularly brainy at all, and nor do you really speak in that nerdy American accent.
Oh, bloody hell.
Who is it?
John Waite. Face the... Oh, Mr. Cassidy, please don't smash my tape recorder with that 14-pound sledgehammer.
I was in love once, but it didn't work out. I think it must have been the age difference. She was 19, worked in the canteen at Anglia, looked like the blonde one from Pan's People. I was 11. Well, 10 3/4 anyway, but I had this thing about older women. Turned out so did she. Ah, Brenda. There are so many things I wish I'd said to you. Hello would have been a start. And with hindsight, perhaps it wasn't the great romantic gesture I thought it was to send you a selection of my favourite football cards with a note saying, from an admirer. But damn it, they weren't even swapsies. When you sent them straight back with a note saying, dream on, fat boy, I knew then that romance was dead. The next day I ran away to join the Foreign Legion, but my sense of direction wasn't fully developed at the time, and so, at the age of 10 3/4, I became the youngest ever member of the British Legion. Thinking about it, even to this day, I'm a bugger for a jumble sale. sorry. Where was I? Buffet service is available towards the rear... I've done that one. Would passengers leaving the train in Grantham please note this train does not stop in Grantham. On its own, number 3, two little ducks, 22. Number of series of the cartilage family, 1.
Thought I found the key to your heart. Turned out to be the key to your shed. Romance is dead. It's official. Romance is dead. Passed away last Saturday. No flowers, please. Donations instead. I broke down in the street today. Yes, I did. I called out the emotional AA. They said romance is dead. It's official. Romance is dead. Died peacefully at 3:10. No flowers, please. Donations instead. Now solitaire's a game for one sad git or less. In a world where patience is a card game. From now on it's T for one and one for T, I guess. In a world where it takes one to tango.
My Blues Hell by Little Johnny Cartilage was written by and starred Johnny Mears, with Ben Miller, Peter Serafinowicz, Jeff McGiven, Rosemary Martin and Deborah Berlin, and with a special appearance by John Waite. Musical arrangements were by Spencer Cousins, and the producer was Gareth Edwards.
I gave you all the love in the world. You asked me if I'd kept the receipt. Romance is beat. It's official. Romance is dead. Ooh, it's dead. Looks as if it's good and stiff. No flowers, please. Donations instead.